It's time for the Swap Shop Hour. Give us a call at 740-383-9944. It's time for Swap Shop. Come on, friends. If you're going to sell it, we're going to tell it. So pick up your phone and let me make it perfectly clear. It's time for Swap Shop. Good old Swap Shop. We're going to try and sell it here. 740-383-9944.
Hey everybody, this is Glenn Coble, and of course the name of this show is called Swap Shop. We keep on doing it even if the COVID virus is knocking us to the ground. We're going to keep on doing it, so you know where you can tune in, especially once we start to get out from underneath this terrible virus. So you'll know where to go to sell your tchotchkes, sell your all the junk that's laying around your house. Good junk, of course. But you can sell it right here on Swap Shop. All you have to do is call 740-383-9944 and tell us what you have to sell. Give us a call, and we will not carry like... So you can't sell your house here. You can't sell your car. You can't sell your gun. You can't sell your boat. Nothing that requires registration are we going to sell here on Swap Shop. But we will sell lots of other things. And we'll also give out information about garage sales, which we've had occasionally. And also for nonprofit organizations, we'd be glad to announce events that you have coming up. As a matter of fact, right off the bat, we have a couple of events that have been passed on to us to carry, and one of them happens today, and it's out at the Tallgrass Trail, it's called Edible Medicinal Plants 101 program, and it starts at 6 o'clock tonight. Now, I would definitely call this number to find out if they still have any openings available. You ready to take this number down? 740-223-4162. Let me look at that. Let's make sure that's a 6-2 or a 6-1. Don't write it down yet. It's hard to read this this font. I'm sorry. The number is 740-223-4161. That's easy to remember. 4161. 740-223-4161. They also are having, now that's today at 6 o'clock, and you can learn about edible or medicinal plants. I assume that he's going to show you what they look like, and I imagine it's being conducted by the naturalist James Anderson, who will be on our Thursday show. Not next week. Next week we'll have Fred Malone, but the week after that we'll have James back on, and he'll talk. He showed me pictures of that butterfly as it was in the chrysalis stage. I think that's the word. Anyway, he will be doing that tonight at 6 o'clock. And make sure you call that number if you want to go to that, because they have limited allowed people, you know, because of the COVID and so forth. All right. Then on the 12th, which I think is Saturday, is it? Let me look it up here. Saturday the 12th, they're going to have bird watching at the Tallgrass Trail. That's good. You're going to have to put the alarm clock on, because that one starts at 8 a.m. So you're going to have to get up pretty early. But the birds get up early, so you might as well get up early, right? On the 12th, 8 a.m., out at the Tallgrass Trail, bird watching. And you might call out there to make sure that they have room for you on that as well. That number again, 4161. Hope you enjoy those things. I really enjoy talking to James. He's a wealth of information about creepy crawlies and slinking things and little fuzzy things and even turtles and stuff, you know, salamanders and stuff. He knows a lot about critters that are not necessarily human. This past week, he put on Facebook, he and his family went on a kind of a vacation. They went out and about, and I think he had like 68 pictures that were just fantastic. A lot of them of his young son, which is understandable. Don't we all like to see our kids on Facebook, I guess? Anyway, his young son is becoming quite a naturalist himself, from what I understand. So, today, if you have things that you'd like to sell or you want to call us and give us a yard sale or a garage sale or an event that your nonprofit is having, call us at 740-383-9944. If we don't have a lot of people, which is during this virus thing, we're not getting a lot of people, let's face it, because people don't want to go out and shake hands with their neighbors. But if you do it, try to be as safe as possible. Wear the mask. Stay away from each other. If you're buying something from somebody or selling something to somebody, then maybe you can put the money in an envelope and hand them the envelope as opposed to touching them. All right? Try to be as safe as possible. All right? I've got lots of trivia that we can talk about. And occasionally I will say, now this trivia, I'll give you 3 or 4 minutes to answer. And you can call into the station and you be a hero, right? You will get an attaboy. We'll give you an attaboy, which is nothing more than a verbal pat on the back. But it's nice. It's kind of fun. And we get occasional calls of people that want to show how smart they are, right? So this first one I am not going to give you because it's kind of a tough question. The second question, we're going to give you 3 or 4 minutes. But the first question we're not, okay? What year was the first color photograph taken? And let me give you a hint. It wasn't in the 20th century. What year was the first color photograph taken? You ready for this? I can't imagine that it was taken. It was taken at the time of the Civil War. 1861 was the very first color photograph that was taken. They used to take black and white photos and then color them in. But this was when the very first color photograph was taken. In 1861. Wow. Pretty amazing. All right. This one you should be able to figure out, right? So I'm going to give you 2 or 3 minutes. If you want to be a hero in the entire county of Marion, call in with the answer of this one. And I'll even give you 4 choices. Who invented the Kodak camera? Was it Johann Zahn? Was it George Eastman? Was it Henry A. Strong? Or was it Joseph Nicephore Nepice? Okay. You know, I can't even pronounce that last name, so that kind of throws that one out. But the other three, could have been any of the other three. If you'd like to call in, 740-383-9944. Let's continue on. What was the number of Twitter's original character limit? You know, it goes up to a certain number of characters, and then it won't let you go any further. And I never figured out how you do a string type thing. I've tried to, and I've messed it up miserably. You know, where you add on to that number of characters, you add another section of the number of the same number of characters. Never have figured out how to do that. Anyway, the number of characters that you were originally limited to was 140. I guess they figured if you couldn't say it in 140 words, you're talking too much. Twitter, when I do it, it starts showing you when you've gone over the 140 words. So now I don't know what it'll do if you leave the extra words in. Probably won't let you do it. But anyway, or maybe it'll cut it off there at the 140 words. It makes you stingy with your words. It also makes you more selective with your words, so, which is good. Now, if you're like our current president, you just keep on doing new Twitters and dozens of them a day. There are a lot of people that do that. I try not to do that. I usually Twitter once a day. But yesterday I had a lot to say, so I think I had three in there. I try to make them as educational as I can, but sometimes I get so mad. Oh, well, getting mad on the Twitter line is just stupid because nobody cares. I was once told the best way to show your ignorance is to talk. Well, Twitter is pretty darn close, right? All right. We still haven't gotten the answer to the who invented the Kodak camera. Give us a call if you know. Okay, let's move right along. What year was Pinterest founded in? I think grammatically they should have said, what year was Pinterest founded? And put the question mark after that instead of in. there are a lot of grammatical problems anymore. People aren't taught grammar. They're not taught civics. They're not taught physical education anymore. What's this world coming to? Anyway, I don't use Pinterest. I know there are a lot of people that do. But the year that it was founded, was it founded in 2008, 9, 10, or 11? Your choice. Well, it's not your choice, but you can make a choice of those and give us a call if you'd like to. That one's, I'm going to give you the answer to it pretty quick, so you probably won't want to do that. And then we're still waiting for somebody to call in and tell us who invented the Kodak camera. All right, the Pinterest was founded in 2010. What was I doing in 2010? I was working for the credit union. I can't remember if there was any significance in the year 2010. All my babies, grandbabies, had been born by then. Okay, let's move on. Let me give you the answer to that question. Who invented the Kodak camera? I thought this one would be really easy, and I think you guys are being lazy is what it is. You don't want to make that call. You know, you got to get up off the couch and go over and push it into your phone. My phone, I can actually just tell it what to call. But anyway, George Eastman was the inventor of the Kodak camera. My son, when he was coaching baseball, he coached for the University of Rochester. And or is it Rochester University? I don't remember which. Anyway, it was in Rochester, New York. And we went up there several times and watched games. And Rochester's a nice town. We enjoyed Rochester. It's pretty bustling. Not as big as Columbus, I don't believe. But it was a pretty nice town. And my son lived in an apartment not too far from the university. So that was good for him. If he could have walked to work and had pretty significant seasons at the university in baseball. He coached there, and prior to that, he coached at the University of St. Joseph, which was in Indiana, which is no more. There are a lot of schools that are actually closing down because of all this stuff that's going on. What was the first car to break the sound barrier? I'm going to give you the answer to this because I've never heard of this, quite frankly. Was it Bloodhound, Was it X1? Was it Bugatti Chiron? Or was it Thrust SSC? Now, I know that X1 was the first airplane, flying device. It really wasn't an airplane. It was a rocket, I believe, that broke the sound barrier up in space. Flown by Jaeger, I believe. So that's not the answer. Bugatti is one of my favorite cars, but that's not the answer. The answer is Thrust SSC was the very first car to break the sound barrier. You know, the sound barrier is what? I forget how many miles an hour. It's very fast. you go in 5 seconds, you can go a mile. So whatever it is. So if you can divide that up, that's how fast that is. All right. And I can't do it right now because I have to use my fingers, and I'm actually doing stuff to be on the air. What was the... Oh, well, this one, you certainly must know this. And if you don't, you should be ashamed of yourself. And I'll give you 3 minutes to call in and answer this. This is that simple. It shouldn't take you more than... Well, we have a 30-second delay, so I'm guessing by 12:32 you'll have called me on this. What was the first car that was mass-produced? All right, not very far from here either. All right. You have different models you could pick from. But the first car that was mass-produced, we'll tell you what that was, all right? one of the answers is kind of funny. There are four answers. Ford Quadricycle Runabout, Ford A, Model A, Ford Model B, Ford Model T. Those are the four answers that this book gives me. Surely you know the answer to that. What is the technical term for the brain of your computer? Is it the hard drive? Is it the RAM? Is it the CPU? Or is it the motherboard? If you want me to answer that without looking, you're going to have a long wait. I have no idea. If it works, that's all I care about, right? Don't really know much about computers. I use them all the time. I'm looking at one right now that this is being broadcast over. But I have no idea what the brain of my computer is. My first guess of those four things, probably my first guess would have been hard drive, but that's wrong. It's the CPU. It's not the RAM, it's not the hard drive, and it's not the motherboard, it's the CPU. Now, I guess if I really thought about it, I would have thought not the hard drive, but the motherboard. So that's all I know. I'm too old. I'm not supposed to know all that stuff. My grandkids know that stuff, right? How about yours? Aren't they smart? I love smart kids. And I like to make kids smarter, so let's keep educating them. What do you say? All right. What was Google's original name? Oh, this is kind of interesting. Was it Gujol? One's Hot? Typist? Or Backrub? Which one of those was Google's original name? Those are pretty wild names, aren't they? Google, One Shot, Typist, or Backrub? Those are all pretty wild names. Never would I have guessed any of those, but one of those is the original name of Google. Let's go back. We're still waiting for somebody to call in and tell us what the very first mass-produced car was. All right. Surely you know the answer to that. Was it the Model A, Model T, Model B, or the Ford Quadricycle Runabout? I'm going to tell you for a fact it wasn't the Ford Quadricycle Runabout. All right. Let's go on. What was Google's original name? You would never guess this in a million years if you didn't look it up on Google itself, right? It wasn't Google. It wasn't OneShot. It wasn't Typist. It was Backrub? Where did that come from? That was Google's original name, Backrub. Holy cow. I don't know what PR guy gave him that as a good thought, but I hope he was fired. I would never have given my boss that as a name for Google. I'm trying to think what the relationship to Backrub is. And I can't think of it. Yeah, I can understand why you might call Google Typist or even OneShot. But, well, I don't know why it was, ended up being called Google. Maybe somewhere we can find out why it was called Google. What does Google mean? I do like the fact that they change the artwork quite often. It might be daily to have a different art design for the word Google. It makes it kind of interesting. And then I come from the world of public relations and advertising and that type of thing. And that type of stuff interests me. I have a very tiny brain, and I need all the stimulation I can get. All right. So we know it was called Backrub before it was called Google. What a weird name. What company did the founders of YouTube work for before starting YouTube? Let me see if I've got the answer. I don't think I have the answer to this. I better not ask that question because I don't have the answer. Never mind. Okay. We'll go back and we'll do another question, okay? Google was called Backrub. Weird. You're listening to Swap Shop. This is Glenn Coble here on WWGH, and we have a phone call. Let's go to the phone. Hi, you're on the air. How can we help you? Hello? You're on the air. Hello? You're on the air. How can we help you? Okay. Apparently, we couldn't help that person. It said on my phone, private call. So it might have been somebody trying to sell me something. What do you think? Do you get those all the time? I get them all the time. Well, not all the time. Even though I've signed up for that privacy thing where people aren't supposed to be able to call you. We get calls all the time. That doesn't work. How many new species? Now, we'll have to ask James Anderson this when he's on in 2 weeks. How many new species continue to be discovered every year? I'm guessing they're talking new species of animals. Maybe they're talking animals and plants. That would seem more logical considering what the numbers are. One of the numbers is 16,000, 18,000, 32,000, or 34,000. New species? And I am not given a clue. But the answer is 18,000 new species every year is discovered. Now, I'm guessing that's either plants or animals, and it doesn't say. Oh, I'm going to have to get a new book. What is a group of turkeys called? A group of turkeys. You know, we have wild turkeys around here. And what is a group? If you get a group of those, what are they called? Are they called a clutch, a rafter, a brood, a peep? I like a peep. I think I would name them a peep. But that's because I like marshmallow, you know, those little things that we get all the time at Easter with the little baby chickens. They call them peeps. I love those things. And you don't want to eat too many. Woo, no. Bad for your teeth, bad for your waistline, bad for just about everything. What they call a group of turkeys. All right. A group of turkeys is called, you didn't have it? Okay, I'll give you one last second here before I give you the answer. Okay, I hear you yelling at your husband. That's wrong. A group of turkeys is called a rafter. Now, I always thought a rafter was something to hold the ceiling up, but a group of turkeys is called a rafter. All right. What is the fastest snake in the world? Now, we apparently have snakes, and I'll give you three or four minutes to answer this one. It's kind of a fun one, the fastest snake in the world. It's not that little rattlesnake that we have out on the tall grass trail. And I'm not even sure that they're on the tall grass trail, but they're in this area, and I can't remember their name. But they're a smaller version of a rattlesnake, and we have them in this area. That's why I rarely go walking in the prairie. All right. The fastest snake in the world, I'll give you 3 or 4 minutes to call in. The number 740-383-9944. And you'll have a choice between Black Mamba, King Cobra, Boomslang, or Taipan. Okay? The four are Black Mamba, King Cobra, Boomslang, or Taipan. And this is the fastest snake in the world, something I never want to get in contact with. They all sound poisonous. I don't know if they are, but they all sound poisonous, and I'm going to stay away from, well, I don't even like garter snakes, so I'm going to stay away from whatever this snake is, okay? If you know the answer and you want to get an attaboy, I'll be glad to hand it over to you. Call 740-383-9944. Hey, and also, if you have anything to sell, or if you have a thing like we announced, we're going to announce again these events that are going on out at the Tallgrass Trail. If you have an event that you want the whole Marion County to know about, and give us a call, and we'll put you on there, and you can tell the world what's going on. We're not getting close to Christmas yet, so you know, I know there aren't bazaars happening, but if you have like a church giveaway, or you have a church bazaar or a church social that's free of charge to people or something like that, we'd be glad to put that on for you. We do anything that's like for a non-profit. Okay, we still got another minute or so. What is the fastest snake in the world? All right. What car sold more than 1 million units in 1965 and still holds the record today? That's kind of interesting. What car sold more than 1 million units in 1965 and still holds the record today? I was a freshman in college in 1965. I'm trying to think what I would have thought the answer to this was, and I think the answer is exactly what I would have said. Was it a Buick Riviera, a Pontiac Grand Prix, a Chevy Impala, or a Ford Thunderbird? Now, I happened to work for a car dealership at the time that the Ford Thunderbird was revisited. When was that? 01 or something like that? Or 2000? Somewhere around that time. And it was, I loved the new Ford Thunderbird, but it only lasted 3 or 4 years. But anyway, it was not the Thunderbird. It was not the Riviera. It was not the Grand Prix. It was the Chevy Impala. And if you see, there's still a lot of 65 Chevy Impalas out there. They didn't do so. Oh, now we probably got the answer. Let's see if we have an answer here. Hi, you're on the air. How can we help you?
Yeah, is the snake the Black Mamba?
Let me look over here. The snake is the Black Mamba. How'd you know that?
Oh, just a wild guess.
Well, that's it. And just the name scares me.
Yes, it does.
Do you like snakes?
Not necessarily,
yeah.
No.
I hate snakes. Like I've said
earlier, I like wildlife, but I don't like snakes.
I've told James, I don't know if you listen to our show on the fourth Thursday every month, but we have James Anderson, who is the naturalist here in Marion County.
Yes, I do listen.
Yeah, and he tells me all sorts of cool stuff about wildlife, and I like wildlife too. I just don't want to be near it.
Yes, there you go. I agree. All
okay.
Right, thank you.
Well, you got an attaboy. Thanks a lot for calling.
You're welcome.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, that's correct. He got it. and he just guessed, and it does, Black Mamba does sound like it would be fast, doesn't it? That's the fastest snake in the world is a Black Mamba. Now, the King Cobra, I think they can move fast but and jump far, but the Black Mamba is the fastest, and we got given attaboy to our listener that just called in and with the right answer. All right, and by the way, the Chevy Impala is the 1965, sold 1 million units and still holds the record for most units sold. It's 1245. You're listening to WWGH 107.1. I'm Glenn Coble. You're listening to Swap Shop. And during this time of COVID, Swap Shop has kind of turned into Trivia Central. And we do have a few things that we get. You know, if you'd like to send in an event, we'd love to do that. If you'd like to send in if you're embarrassed about getting on the air, getting on the radio, send it to us, and I'll give you the address that you can send it to. You can send us when you're having a yard sale. Make sure if you do that, make sure you put the address in. We have gotten occasionally a message saying where something is, and they don't tell you where it is. You know, First Church of Christ is having a bazaar. You got to tell us when, where, right? Okay. That's one of the things. If you're going to send us an event that your particular nonprofit is having, send it to you. Ready? You got your pencil out? Okay. Or you can send us just notes, telling us how much you love us. Send it to WWGH Radio, 165 West Center Street, Suite 208, Marion, Ohio, 43302. Okay, if you didn't get all that, I'm going to give it back to you again one last time. You ready? WWGH Radio, 165 West Center Street, Suite 208, Marion, Ohio, 43302. We'd love to put it on the air for you. Again, we do have a couple that we have in. One of them is today. Out at the Tallgrass Trail, they're having the Edible Medicinal Plant 101 program at 6 p.m. Now, you got to call on that one. I'm thinking you should call. It doesn't say you have to call, but I'm sure the spots are limited. So call out to 740-223-4161. 740-223-4161 to make sure that there's still a place available, and that's called Edible and Medicinal Plants 101, and that's out at the Tallgrass Trail tonight at 6 o'clock. Now, they're also having at the Tallgrass Trail on Saturday at 8 a.m. You got to get up early to go bird watching out at the Tallgrass Trail. That's on September 12th. I think it's Saturday, 8 a.m. bird watching. Now, you might call on that and see if they still have spaces available for that too. 740-223-4161. All right? Very good. All right. Let us continue. Oh, we've got about 10 minutes left, and we can give you a few more questions. Let me see if I can find one here that we can test your knowledge and ask you to call in 3 minutes. Let's see. Oh, this is a good one. It's a very timely one. And I'm going to tell you, by the way, I'll tell you after I ask the question. I'm going to give you 3 minutes to answer this. How many people make up the U.S. Electoral College? Is it 270, 352, 442, or 538? Okay. It's 270, 352, 442, or 538. how many people make up the U.S. Electoral College. And we're going to be learning about that in, and I'm going to tell you how many days here. Let me look at my phone. I have it on my phone that tells me every day it counts down. 53 days until Election Day. And if you want to know when Inauguration Day is, it's several days past that. It's 131 days until January 20th, which is when whoever wins the election in that electoral college, it's when that person will be selected as the president of the United States. All right. Now, you, of course, know who's running, right? Donald Trump and Joe Biden. Those are the two that are running. The vice presidents that are running, Mr. Trump has Mr. Pence, and Mr. Biden has Kamala Harris. Okay? Now you know everything there is to know. How many people make up the U.S. Electoral College? We'll tell you the answer to that in a couple of minutes. If you know the answer, give us a call, 740-383-9944. All right. In what month is Earth closest to the sun? Let's hope it's not too close to the sun, right? Whew, gets really hot. This is kind of interesting because it is not a month that you would expect, especially in the northern hemisphere. All right? The month that the Earth is closest to the sun is January. Now, that is the month that we are, let's see, actually December is the month we are farthest from in the northern hemisphere. Is that right? The vernal equinox. Oh, no, that's the 31st of March, I believe. No. Anyway, I'm not going to show my ignorance any further. But in January, the Earth is closest to the sun. And we have our shortest day, and I should know this because it's my anniversary. The shortest day is the 21st of December, which is when the northern hemisphere is tipped the farthest away from the sun. But still, since we're closest to the sun in January, we got to be, thank goodness, because that's really cold month for us. And if we were any further away, it could be really cold. You know where it's not cold right now? Out in California. My son's house, I think three days ago, in Ojai, California, it was 115 degrees, and that's what the temperature on the thermometer said. That is not corrected for anything, and they are now suffering from lots of fires out there, kind of having something to do with that because everything dries out when it's that hot. And fortunately, this year so far, the fires haven't gotten close to them. Whereas, 2 years ago when they had the biggest fire they had ever had, single fire, that went all the way around Ojai, California. And we drove out last year, I think it was, and there was a lot of burned out areas to see. All right, the Earth is closest to the sun in January. All right, we had asked earlier how many people make up the U.S. Electoral College. I'll give you one last minute on this, okay? 270, 352, 442, or 538. Phone number 740-383-9944. Okay, we will continue on. You're listening to Glenn Coble. We're on Swap Shop, and if you have anything to sell, you can call us at that same number, all right? 740-383-9944. All right. Which astronaut first discovered the sunspots on the surface of the moon? Was it, astronaut, astronomer. astronomer, which astronomer first discovered the sunspots on the surface of the moon? You know what those little black sunspots that you see when you look at through a telescope? Now, don't do that unless you know what you're doing and you have the right filters. But was it Copernicus? Was it Galileo? Was it Kepler? Or was it Newton? It was Galileo Galilei. That's who it was. And he was the first person to note the sunspots. And they have all sorts of regulatory things that they do to our atmosphere and our radio waves and all sorts of stuff. Very interesting subject if you're into that kind of thing. Who is considered the founder of the modern study of genetics? Now, was it Gregor Mendel? Was it Hugo de Vries? Was it Carl Correns? Or Erich von Trechmach? Some interesting names. Well, it was Gregor Mendel, who was supposedly the founder of the modern study of genetics. And boy, we have come a long way. One of my friends was involved in the counting of the genes. It was all volunteer, but he got his name in the record books, I guess. The study of genetics has gone exploded. We learn more and more about ourselves every day. All right, I'm going to go back and tell you how many people make up the U.S. Electoral College. You've lost your time, okay? 538 people actually vote on the presidential election. That's all. You don't get to vote. Each state has its own way of determining how many of those votes they pass on. And I'm not going to even try to get into what Ohio does, all right? Let's see what we're doing. Oh, here's another question. Which of the eight major islands in Hawaii is currently uninhabited? Now, there are eight. And I've been to two of the islands. And I can't remember where Honolulu is on, where we landed our airplane. But then we went over to Hilo, which is on the Big Island. It's the island of Hawaii. So neither one of those islands are the one that we're talking about here. There are eight major islands, and the one that is currently uninhabited is Kahoʻolewi. Kahoʻolewi. And I'm probably mispronouncing it, but that's the one. But you don't really need to know the name of it because you're not going to be allowed to go there. It's uninhabited. Kahoʻolewi. Something like that. What year did the Cold War officially end? I was alive. I would venture to say most of the people listening right now were alive. Not all of the people, by any shot. We had a little young lady that would call in here. I think she said she was 12 years old. She called in kind of regularly a while back. I haven't heard from her since. But she was not anywhere near alive at that point. Was it 1988, 89, 90, or 91, the year that the Cold War officially ended? Now, I don't know that. How do you determine it officially ended? Was there somebody that said, okay, Cold War is done? It was 1989. I think that was that the year that Reagan said, tear down the wall? I'm not sure.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio, the Talking Place. For the famous cookie